Good evening and welcome to Comment. I'm Ken Livingston. I'm standing in for George Galloway. And over the next hour, we'll be taking your calls and your opinions on three key subjects. If you want to call me now, then the number is +44 208 601 4555. Or you can text on, I can't quite see that now. I'll come back to you with the text number. Or if you're too shy, and if you're the first time caller and a bit worried, you can always send an email to comment at, and it, I have to say I'm having a little problem with the camera at the moment. We'll get back to you with those call signs. Our first topic tonight is the clashes in Bahrain. After the death of two young people demonstrating, we've been in a position where there's virtually no global news coverage, in real contrast to the events in Libya or in Syria. And we have to ask, what has been the role of the Saudi regime in arming and providing support for the crackdown on the pro-democracy protesters in Bahrain? And of course, the British government has been training many of the troops that are there. Also, we have the issue of the extradition of Barber Ahmed. He's been in jail in Britain for 8 years and has not been put on trial. He's accused of fundraising for terrorism here in Britain. So why haven't we been able to prosecute him? As you will see, even the Mayor of London thinks our extradition treaty with the United States is biased in favour of the United States. And isn't it time we reviewed that? But of course, David Cameron has made no real comment on this and continues to defend the extradition. The position also of government ministers. We've now had a whole range of government ministers forced to resign on dodgy grounds. We've got the former Environment Secretary coming up for trial on perverting the course of justice. That's Christopher Hume. We've had the former Defence Secretary, Liam Fox, forced to resign after questionable contacts with defence procurement firms. We've had the chairman of the Conservative Party, Grant Shapps, exposed as running an internet firm through an alias, and of course, the government chief whip using offensive language which would get a protester arrested at police. We want to hear from you on all those topics. Do please give us a call. We're waiting to take your calls here tonight. And our first caller, hello? Can
hello.
You hear me?
Hello?
Abdul, yes. Hello, Abdul.
Yeah,
we
it's
hear
Abdul.
You.
Hello, Mr.
Hi,
Livingston. How are you?
What would you like to tell us?
Yeah, I want to contribute about what happened in Yemen, in Bahrain. Hmm. Sorry. Mr. Livingston, I think now all over the world, the United Nations, or what they call, they don't want us to tell the truth. They don't see the truth. Mm. Because why I'm saying this, look at what happened in Yemen, Bahrain. Look at what happened in Yemen, what happened in Libya. What, all over the television station, media houses, they covered it. But what happened in Bahrain now, they're killing innocent people. Mm. Nobody, and then nobody in United Nations talk about it.
Well,
they kill innocent people. Mm.
Ahmed, I think part of the problem is that for the best part of 60 years, even longer now, Saudi Arabia has been America's principal ally in the Arab world. And the Americans make no complaint about the appalling abuses that happen there. They make no complaint about the fact that there's no trace of democracy. And as we now know, it was the Saudi regime that provided a lot of the funding for Osama bin Laden and Al-Qaeda. But there seem to be double standards. I mean, when you saw the pro-democracy protesters propping up in Libya, the West threw all its weight behind overthrowing Colonel Gaddafi, when you saw the protests currently going on in Syria, huge condemnation from the Western powers. But then in Bahrain, there's nothing, and in Saudi, there is nothing. And I think it's this double standard by America and its allies, which means that there is so little support for America and its policies across the whole of the Middle East.
And Mr. Livingston, second, what about the Britain? Britain is an independent country. Hmm. And then whatever American is going, whether it's true or false, they follow them. They have to stay independent. If it's true, tell them it's true. We don't support you. But they don't do that. Always we follow these people, whether it's true or not. We just follow them. We have to show them we are independent country.
Well, I wish that were true, but I have to say so almost every government of my lifetime in Britain has been quite slavish in supporting whatever America was doing. The way in which we got involved in the illegal invasion of Iraq, the position of sort of propping up America in Afghanistan. And there's nothing new in this, of course. In actual fact, I can think of only one British Prime Minister who didn't slavishly follow the American agenda, and that was the Conservative Prime Minister Edward Heath in the early 1970s. And he, in actual fact, refused to allow America to fly armaments to Israel during the Yom Kippur War. And that caused a lot of an anger in the United States of America. But within a year, Heath was no longer Prime Minister. Now, I'm not suggesting there was a conspiracy there and they overthrew him. But that's about the only example I can think of a British Prime Minister standing up to America in my lifetime. And our next caller is Mark. Hello, Mark. Can you hear me, Mark? You're on air.
The British Parliament or Prime Minister of the party, I mean, they weren't elected, were they? It was a hung thing, wasn't it?
I didn't catch
They weren't elected, were they? Were they a hung Parliament or something?
Well, the hung Parliament doesn't seem to have had any impact on British foreign policy. When we had a large Labour majority and Tony Blair was totally committed behind what George W. Bush did, now you've got the situation, it might be a hung parliament, but David Cameron is completely slavish to the agenda set by Obama in the White House. And I'm certain if Mitt Romney wins and becomes president and starts to take military action against Iran, I've seen David Cameron on our television saying he's going to support American action against Iran. So there could be another war hoving into view within the next 12 months.
Yeah, of course. I mean, they're all basically the Americans are called puppet politics. Mm. It's just two sides of a different coin. Well, you know, and like Lib Dems, they certainly backstepped on what they were saying before the election about the tuition fees and everything. So I've not much faith in politics myself.
Well, the important thing, Mark, is get involved and fight to try and change things. That's the decision I took over 40 years ago when I joined the Labour Party to oppose the war in Vietnam. And I try and make certain that, because there's real pressure from America that they wanted Britain to send troops, and the then Labour Prime Minister Harold Wilson was resisting that. I was angry, he wasn't actually supporting the Vietnamese, but at least that was a lot better than what we saw with Tony Blair's government, which did agree to send troops to support America in its wars.
Yeah, but I understand what you mean, but I remember when Labour got into power in, I think it was the early 90s, was it? And I remember thinking, oh, things are going to change now. And realistically, looking at it, you know, it doesn't, as far as I can see, it really doesn't matter. Even if people have good intentions before they get elected, it seems that once they're in office of power, then they run along with the banker's scheme of the way things have always been and the way things seem.
But Mark, don't give up. I mean, get involved. People can make a difference. And particularly if the Americans elect Romney, which would be a dramatic the worst situation, there's a real chance we could actually mobilise enough pressure so that the British government won't slavishly follow Romney into a war against Iran. Thank you very much for your call, Mark. Our next caller is Mohammed from Iraq, talking to us about Bahrain. Hello, Mohammed.
Hi, Mr. Hi. Kane. Thank you, sir. My greetings for you and to Mr. George Galloway.
Thank you.
Please, Mr. Kane, please, first, I'd like to apologize if there's a problem in my English language. Second thing about Bahrain Revolution, as Mr. Abdul said, the international society, United Nations, keep silent about what happened in Bahrain. But when we take a look in what happened in Syria, in the Syrian crisis, we see all Arab media or all world trying to support what happened in Syria, trying to make in Syria that there is a revolution until they convert this revolution to a terrorism. Now we see a terrorism in Syria. But when we talk about Bahrain and the pure revolution in Bahrain, we see all keep silent. Well, so how I can believe that the pure revolution in Syria is really pure revolution when I see all keep silent about what happened in Bahrain?
Well, there's nothing.
Last word. Thank you, Mr. Kane. And I apologize if there's a problem in my English.
No, it's
fine. My greetings for you and for Mr. George Galloway.
Your English is excellent, Mohammed. Okay, there is nothing new in this. We've had these double standards all my life in politics. We saw America and Britain denouncing the dictatorships in Eastern Europe, but while saying nothing about dictatorships that were pro-American all over Latin America and in Africa, even in these last few days before the election in Venezuela on Sunday. America has done everything possible to try and remove President Chavez from office. George Bush did not oppose the attempted coup against him in 2002. Right the way through, all this has ever been about is, has America got an ally that will allow American corporations to plunder that country's natural resources or provide, as in Bahrain, military bases for American troops? And sadly, as I say, nothing new in any of this. And our next caller is, I can't quite see that, Balti in Pakistan, yes. Hello, Balti. Balti, are you there? Hello. You're on air.
How are you, sir?
Yes, good. Guys, I suspect it's good night or good afternoon in your area. It must be the middle of the night.
I would like to talk about the human rights violation and killing up pro-democracy protesters in Bahrain, sir.
Go ahead.
It is a fact that the world democracy has been used as a tool by America and our allies when it comes to their interest. Actually, they don't have interest with democracy and pro-democracy people in the world. It is the reality that Saudi forces enter into Bahrain with the instructions of America to crush and kill pro-democracy protesters. So far, they have killed scores of people, but the world community is silent, which is alarming. The mainstream media in the West has also turned blind eye with the issue of Bahrain. Even the human rights activists around the world are silent. It all shows that American policies in the world is unchallengeable, whether they are legitimate or not. Is there any international organization or a country which challenge America, sir?
Well, Balti, there was a challenge. For a long time, the Soviet Union provided a block on many of America's adventures. With the disintegration of the Soviet Union, we saw the United States trying to turn Islam into a new threat to match that of the old Soviet Union, but I don't think much of the world believes that. Unfortunately, a new set of powers are arising. China will overtake America in terms of the size of its economy by the end of this decade. Brazil is on its way to becoming the fourth largest economy in the world, overtaking Japan. and right the way across the world, new emerging powers such as India. So I think America's long century of global dominance will be coming to an end very shortly, and hopefully we will have a fair international system. Balti, thank you very much for your call. Now we're joined by Adnan here in the UK, who wants to talk about Bahrain. Adnan, hello.
Hi, Mr. Livingston. I'm quite happy to see intellectual people from different parts of the world, different religion, different languages, agreeing that what we are seeing and what we are witnessing nowadays, the double standard of the Western democracy, as we call it, and the failure of the United Nations. We see in Bahrain innocent, peaceful people killed for asking for their basic human rights, and nobody cares about them. While on the other hand, we see terrorists from Al-Qaeda and from all over the area raging an armed struggle against the Syrian government, and they got all the support, political, financial, and armed support from the countries around Syria. So, if anything, it's exposing the double standard at the same time happening. The media always try to hide this side of the double standard and the failure of the United Nations.
Well, let's
but
not
those for- like
Adnan, let's not forget
of those young people exposing what this conspiracy doing.
Well, Adnan, let's not forget, right up on, in the very long period of the Arab Spring in Egypt, there was no support for the pro-democracy movement from the United States of America. The attempts of the military to prop up Mubarak, and there was no objection to any of that. America wasn't interested in democracy for the Egyptian people. It just wanted a principal ally there that would be a check against any move by the Palestinian people to assert their rights. And so, sadly, there's nothing new in any of this. It has gone on. I remember as a young man when I was demonstrating against America's war against the Vietnamese, where perhaps as many as 6 million people were killed. America was saying we're defending the Vietnamese people, but if you look in President Eisenhower's autobiography, he writes there that he had been informed by all of his advisors, if America had allowed a free election in Vietnam, Ho Chi Minh, the communist leader, would have won 80% of the vote. They knew the Vietnamese people wanted a Ho Chi Minh-led government, and 6 million Vietnamese died as America tried to prevent the Vietnamese people determining their own destiny. Thank you very much, Adnan. Our next caller is Fatima in Denmark. Hello, Fatima.
Hello. Good evening, Ken.
Hello there. You're on air.
Yeah. I'm here, and I really appreciate the Bahraini people for very long times their struggle and their sufferings, and the shameless and corrupt Al Khalifa regime is totally ignorant. I'm sorry to say that most of the world's media is hypocrite and has the double standard to show what's happening in Syria and Yemen and not in Bahrain. A large population of the world has no sympathy with the Bahrainis. The whole world is quite silent. And it's only because of the great, great, great help of Saudi Arabia, America, and the West.
Well, let's also not forget another factor in all of this. If you look here in Britain, I don't know what the situation is in Denmark. 4 out of every 5 newspapers that are read by the British people are owned by 4 billionaires. All of them tax-dodging exiles, all of them Murdoch, the Barclay brothers and Lord Rothermere, making sure the line that is pumped out in their papers, often virulently Islamophobic, propping up America on every occasion. There's a real problem here. Much of we talk about having a free press in Britain. I don't think a press can be free when 4 billionaires own over 3/4 of it.
Yeah, really hats off to the Bahraini people.
Well, thank you very much, Padma. Kasum, here in the UK. Kasum Haq, hi. Hello?
Hello?
You're on air.
Okay. It's so wonderful to see you, Ken, on Press TV. Mm. And I thank God for your role, first as a leader of the Greater London Council, and I always have supported you, and thank you for speaking up for against injustices. In my view, that the biggest terrorist country in the whole world is both Israel and United States. The way they have manufactured lies against the Syrian and against the people of Bahrain. They supported the regime, which gave him cheap oil. And I feel that we should stand up against imperialism. Mm. Like myself, back in the 60s, I was against Vietnam War and against American imperialism. And my view of America has not changed. I love the American people, the British people, European people, but I think they've been deceived by their governments and by Zionists who control their presses and media. And I pray that you continue to speak up, Ken, and I'm 100% behind you.
Well, thanks very much. I mean, sadly, we needed about another 62,000 Londoners to be behind me for me to win the last election. But I'm certainly carrying on my involvement in these various struggles. The point you touch on, I think, is an interesting one. The double standards in all of this. We see endless stories denouncing Palestinians as terrorists. We need to remember that the Prime Minister of Israel, Menachem Begin, his successor, Yitzhak Shamir, were both being sought when Britain still ran what was then Palestine for terrorist attacks and incidents. 90 people were killed in the bombing of the King David Hotel, and they planned and carried that out. They went on to become Prime Ministers of Israel. And then Sharon, who was the military commander who invaded the Lebanon and oversaw the slaughter of thousands of Palestinian women and children, because the men had all left, from the refugee camps of Sabra and Shatila. There was no call for him to be tried as a war criminal. He's not been subject to an arrest warrant. He went on to become the Prime Minister of Israel. And so it is these double standards that I think have alienated so much of opinion in the Middle East, in Latin America, and even with President Chavez, in the election that comes up on Sunday. The main reason America wants to get rid of President Chavez is when he became president, he increased the tax on the oil companies from about 16% to 32% and used that money to provide health care and education and lift millions of Venezuelans out of poverty. But that meant the American oil companies didn't make as much as a profit. And that is what this has all been about. America seeking to control the flow of natural resources, principally oil, but many other vital things from all over Africa and Latin America. And they have been prepared to prop up some of the most abhorrent governments of modern times, just as long as America can control their resources. And the next caller is Barry in Norway. Hello, Barry.
Good evening, sir.
Hi.
Hello, and thank you so much for having you on Press TV, and we really, really appreciate your performance and being an activist, really, as a father figure, an uncle figure, a grandfather figure. We thank you so much, and God bless you. My comment is concerning about these Bahrain problems, Syria problems, and especially the whole of the entire area, the Middle East. The world should know that there is nothing like United Nations. That United Nations is full of bandits. It's full of bandits. They are just doing what favors them, but they are not doing what favors the world or for the freedom of the humanity. You know, the last program, what Mr. Galloway mentioned, he quoted a word from Bob Marley, that the people should learn and know that they should try and emancipate themselves from mental slavery, which is a fact. Look, history is repeating itself. Let's think of during the Second World War, what Hitler did and those supporting Hitler. You understand? Most of them even ran away and came to America. Let's remember also what America did in Vietnam, in Cambodia.
Barry, I'm afraid we're running out of time. I've got to cut you off. I think it's important to remember that at the end of the Second World War, we put the Nazi war criminals on trial. Yet when Osama bin Laden was captured, he was just gunned down. They couldn't put him on trial. He would have revealed where all that money was coming from. Anyhow, we want to carry on taking your calls. We'll be back right after the news bulletin. Please stay tuned. I want to hear what you've got to say on all these subjects. Thank you very much. Welcome back to Comment with me, Ken Livingston. Tonight we're discussing three topics, Bahrain and whether or not there's any serious discussion in the Western media about the crackdown that's happened in Bahrain with many people killed, one poor protester not given the medical treatment that they needed in prison and allowed to die. We're looking at the issue of Barbara Ahmed, who's been in a British prison for 8 years, accused by America of fundraising for terrorism here in the UK. And if he is guilty, then why don't the British government put him on trial? Why is he going to be deported to an American prison, which has some of the most barbarous prisons in the world, with appalling abuses and, as we know in many instances, at Guantanamo Bay, no justice whatsoever. Also, we're looking at a lot of dodgy government ministers. I can't think of any government in my lifetime that's lost so many ministers so rapidly, with Liam Fox, the defence minister, forced to go after links with between his private secretary and corporates. And also, of course, the abuse by the government chief whip of a police officer, which would land most of the rest of us in prison if we actually did that. They'd have been arrested. Our first caller is Abdi from Turkey. Hello, Abdi.
Hello, good evening, Mr. Ken.
Good evening.
Oh, thank you very much for this opportunity, sir. My topic is a bit different. My view is different from what you're saying about, but what the viewers are saying is all about there is a weakness of the so-called the international community, the reality between the Muslim countries and non-Muslim. So the best things here, and I did call in another channel to speak about the so-called international community, they have to be divided into two groups, because the people who are suffering, the reality, is the Muslim countries only who is suffering the weaknesses. That's why I say that they have to be divided into two groups. And also, to save our world also, I think they have to change it geographically. This the United Nations, the headquarters of the United Nations, which is based in the United States, they have to be brought in the United Kingdom or either in Turkey here. I think that's the best way that to solve the problem. But this is not that the way that the world problem is going to be solved through the United States of America, because there is nothing good comes from the United States of America last 22 years. I think the best days when the former the Bush, not this the recent one, but his father, when he used to be in power, I think those days were much more better. That the situation of the world is just worsening day after day. But what I would like to say here is about the Somalia and the covering of the Al Jazeera always, who are advertising the foreign forces inside the Somalia, which, however, that are not accepted by the Somali government and by its own people. Well, the reality of the ground, there is a Somali soldiers there who are doing very wonderful, but this Al Jazeera are not even talking about the Somali soldiers. And the Al Jazeera English one, that's what I'm talking about, are not even allowed right now to operate inside the Somalia, because right now they're just operating in Kenya. That's where they give their views, because they are not being they cannot be protected by the Somali forces, either by government, either by its own people. So they have to respect the dignity of our country, the dignity of our people. This country is on the problem for almost 22 years, Mr. Kane. So if this international media, they are going to use from the wars, always capturing from the wars, this country will never come up. So there is a new government right now, and this government, the president hasn't yet formed his government. But still, there is an information minister who is from the translation government, who is very weak, however, because he has his family on abroad. He doesn't care. He cannot control the media. So I think he will leave soon, inshallah. Then we will put, when the president is going to form the government.
Well, Abdi, I think the tragedy of Somalia is it became a pawn in the Cold War. Initially, the Somali government was on the side of the Soviet Union. Then the Soviet Union switched its allegiance to Ethiopia. And then the West stepped in and started back. So the poor Somali people were just used as a pawn in the Cold War. And it ended up with a completely failed state and catastrophic problems. And it just seemed to me that we should broadly have a position that we stay out of other countries' affairs. This idea that everyone had to be lined up for or against America or the Soviet Union has been a long-time disaster and has cost tens of millions of lives around the world. Thank you very much. We're now joined by Joan in the UK here. Hello, Joan. Joan, you're on air.
Oh, I was just wanting to ask questions about Bahrain or talk about Bahrain.
Go ahead.
I don't understand why the king was invited by David Cameron in the first place, because he claims to be a constitutional monarch, but it's pretty obvious he isn't. And, you know, they're continuing censorship. Britain's selling arms to Bahrain. They won't let us know how many British servicemen are out there. It's just beginning to, as if it doesn't exist, because the American Navy's Fifth Fleet's there and everyone else seems to ignore what's going on. I wonder what your view was on that.
If you go back 100 years or so, effectively, the whole area around Basra, going down both sides of the sea, was a vast and incredibly highly cultured, independent sort of principality. And of course, at the end of the First World War, France and Britain carved up the whole region, having promised that there would be a independent Arab nation once they had broken the power of the old Ottoman Empire. But it was just carved up, and Britain was using gas against the Kurdish rebels in northern Iraq. And then, of course, with the discovery of oil, it's just been about propping up one corrupt little regime after another, as long as the West gets its oil cheaper. That's what it's always been about. And I just think the tragedy is there isn't a united Arab Republic that runs from Morocco all the way across to Saudi, bringing these peoples together, because the divisions have done nothing to help. And of course, the reality is that would be a great world power, ranking with America, with China. And I think it's dividing it up so that it remains weak and that Western oil companies are able to extract the maximum profit out of it. Thank you very much, Joan. We've had a couple of emails now coming up here on the screen any moment. And here we are. Nice to see you again, Ken. My question is, what can we do to bring the PM under pressure to sack someone? Has it happened before? If so, who was sacked, why, and how? Well, over the years, very many people have been sacked by Labour and Tory prime ministers. I think what's striking about this government, though, is that many of the people who would have been sacked previously, under previous governments, have been allowed to carry on. The scandal that emerged there when Jeremy Hunt was seen hiding behind a tree at a reception given by Rupert Murdoch, and with him having to take the decision about Rupert Murdoch, whether he'd be able to get much more control of Sky TV. We've seen this very strange behaviour of the government chief whip. Now, if I was to walk up to a police officer and use that foul language, I'd most probably be arrested. But I think this government, more than any other in my lifetime, has a sort of contempt for ordinary people and believes it's above the law. It's that small elite. We've never had a government in really the last 100 years which has had 18 millionaires sitting in the cabinet. None of these people seem to have any understanding of real life. And have we got that next email up? Yes, here we go. Hello there, Ken. If I know anything about Bahrain, it's been in this show. Oh, my God. I can't believe all that is going on there. I've never heard of it. I've just seen a crazy clip on your channel press with a massive funeral for those two activists, and there are even more protests. The king is a monster, and so is Cameron for supporting him. It's unbelievable. There was, of course, a lot of demand to say that no one from Bahrain should be invited to the opening ceremony of the Olympics. But that protest, it didn't get a great deal of coverage. I mean, when I was a young man growing up, our main newspapers, often quite right-wing, but they would have a correspondent in every capital city around the world. Now, almost all of that's gone. It means there's very little real reporting and new news coming through from any of these countries. And the simple reality is, if the King of Bahrain was a radical socialist, I'm sure there'd be demands for him to be removed from office. But because he's basically seen as a pawn for American interests, he's propped up. America can't afford not to have its Fifth Fleet based there in Bahrain, which is a vital way in which it can control the local straits. And with all the talk of a possible Israeli attack on Iran, and with Cameron here saying that he would support American action, I think there's a very real danger that even before we're out of the war in Afghanistan, we could be seeing the world dragged into another terrible conflict in the Middle East. And our next caller joins us now, Maisoon here in the UK, who wants to talk about Bahrain. Hello, Maisoon.
Ken, it's Maisoon.
Oh, Maisoon, sorry.
That's all right. I hope you're well.
Thank you.
I just want to say that what we are facing in the Middle East is all linked. What is happening in Bahrain, what is happening in Syria. And I just want to make a point which has really been bugging me. I think it's very disingenuous of people talking about Al-Qaeda. Al-Qaeda does not exist. Al-Qaeda is not a Muslim terrorist organization. It was created by the CIA and Mossad. And I want to ask, America, you know, talks about Al-Qaeda attacking America in the United States. Well, how come they're siding with Al-Qaeda in Syria? Is it the same Al-Qaeda that we are talking about?
Well, there never was an Al-Qaeda in the sense that the media depicted it, this great organisation with a command structure. There are individual little groups practising terrorism here and there that actually claim to be part of Al-Qaeda. But we need to remember, these groups grew up in the war in Afghanistan in the 1980s following the Russian invasion. We now know that President Carter, the American president then, was told by the CIA if he started giving arms to the fundamentalist groups that were killing people and beheading people at the time, it would force Russia to invade. And the words the CIA used were, Russia, if the Soviet Union invades, it will become their Vietnam. And of course it did. It almost bankrupted the Soviet economy. It helped bring about the decline of the Soviet Union. And America was pouring vast resources into the Mujahideen. And the Saudi regime was funding the other side of that around people like Osama bin Laden. And as soon as Russia withdrew, Charlie Wilson, there's a very good film called Charlie Wilson's War. He was a Texas congressman who'd been encouraging America to fund all these groups. Once the war was over, he said, now you've got to provide the schools and the hospitals to help build a society. America wasn't interested. It had just been about using Afghanistan to break the Soviet Union and a terrible loss of life. But of course, having filled Afghanistan and all these extreme groups, filled them with arms, then they looked around to see who else was invading Arab lands. And they saw that America had its troops stationed in places like Saudi Arabia and so on, and they turned on them. So in effect, insofar as Al-Qaeda existed, it was America and its Saudi ally that helped create it. And effectively, it turned round, and then we saw in the horror of 9/11, the chickens really came home to roost. Thank you for that call. Our next call is Mark Han, here in the UK. Hello, Mark Han. Hello? Mark Han?
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Hi, I just wanted to actually make a comment about a person who is in jail for the past 8 years in Britain, who is trying to commit a crime in Britain. You know, I believe if anyone who commits a crime in any country, that is not be actually used any, against any religious. As the person who committed the crime, I am sure he's been come out of some sort of, you know, some sort of terrorist group or whoever wanted to try to kill innocent people. So people who try to kill innocent people in Britain or even in any part of the world, those are terrorists. But there are some powerful countries, you know, some powerful people who are actually paying billions of dollars, and they're trying to create these kind of group underneath Islamic or whatever other name is, if you want to call it.
One thing that I think is important here is that even the Mayor of London, very strong right-wing conservative, Boris Johnson, has been saying this extradition treaty is unbalanced. My simple view is this. The American legal system is a nightmare, horrendously expensive. They have more people in prison in America per head of population than any other country on earth. The conditions are barbarous in many of their prisons. They still have the death penalty. I don't think we should deport anyone to the United States given their legal system. If Barbara Ahmed's committed a crime here in Britain, he should be tried here in Britain. The fact that for 8 years he's been held without trial suggests that evidence may not be the case. And I don't trust the American legal system not to, to completely stitch him up. I remember back in 1977, America was demanding the extradition of Philip Agee and Mark Hosenball, who's strong critics of America. And they were deported from Britain. And the British Home Secretary under a Labour government said there's been no pressure from America. This is simply our legal system. 20 years later, we knew that the week before the Home Secretary took the decision to deport Agee and Hosenball, the American Secretary of State, Henry Kissinger, flew in to London to a secret meeting with him. And I suspect not much has changed in all that time. Thank you for that call. Our next call is Sahad here in the UK. Hello, Sahad.
Yeah, hi, Ken.
Hi.
Isn't it true that the Fifth Fleet in Bahrain and basically those the Bahraini government are doing the bidding, I mean the royals are doing the bidding of the American government, which is in turn doing the bidding of the oil companies and that set up base in countries like Saudi Arabia and in Bahrain as well.
I think you're absolutely right. And I mean, around the world, people see this. They don't necessarily see it reflected in their news programs or their newspapers, but people aren't stupid. They can see the sort of double standards that are applied here. My view is that, you know, I want to see every country as a democracy where people are free to elect their government. And it's absolutely ridiculous for us to denounce people like Chavez in Venezuela, as the Americans do, who's won election after election after election. And he's depicted as some sort of dictator in the American media, whilst at the same time the Saudi royal family, the Bahraini royal family, and many others are spared all criticism simply because they serve America's political interests by providing that oil and the profits that come out of that. The hatred that you get for President Chavez in the American media is because he came to power, he doubled the tax on the oil companies and used that money to provide health care and education for all the Venezuelan people. And I'm sure rich American interests will be helping to fund the campaign of the rival candidate against him, who would simply go back to being a puppet of the United States if Chavez loses that election on Sunday. Thank you for that, Sahad. Our next caller is Mohammed, also here in the UK. Hello, Mohammed.
Hi, Ken. Well, I live in the UK, Ken, and, you know, I'm actually hugely disappointed with the utter hypocrisy that our country displays. And it does so with just no shame at all. David Cameron is going to send £5 million to those rebels in Syria who have committed proven war crimes, and he spends millions of pounds to overthrow Gaddafi in Libya, all from the taxpayers' money. And this is all, of course, in the name of democracy. However, the same Mr. Cameron travels to Saudi Arabia, where there is no democracy. Women get lashed for driving a car, and protesters get shot dead for demanding free speech and an elected government. He then hosts the Bahraini Khalifa in Downing Street while the Bahraini Khalifa clamps down mercilessly on his own people back in Bahrain. And the Queen of Britain, of course, invites these ruthless dictators to her diamond jubilee. You know, we ask, why should we believe a man who has such double standards? You know, Mr. Cameron does not promote democracy, but rather hypocrisy.
Well, as you know, he's trying to change, David Cameron is trying to change the number of MPs in the British Parliament because he thinks that would reduce the number of Labour MPs and increase his chances of winning. I think we are pretty much a good democracy in Britain, but a lot of that is distorted because so much of the media is in the hands of pro-conservative billionaires. Four out of all the five papers read in Britain are owned by four billionaires who provide total support for the Conservative government and smear after smear against successive Labour leaders. You can't have a full democracy if you haven't got a genuinely free media. Thank you for that call. Just got time for Salman in Nigeria. Hello, Salman. You need to speak up a bit, Salman.
Hello,
yeah.
My name is Salman from Nigeria.
Yeah.
I want to talk about Bahrain. Is it the problem we are facing I think the Bahrainians are facing is just about the dictatorship from as in the Saudi dynasty. And then I believe the only solution which I believe the Bahrain can do is for them to come out in mass and say stop, and let them march to the kingdom of, or that is, that very particular empire, and let them move those kings from that, because they have the population, and then they are the one that's supposed to be ruled by themselves, not that the minority. Who are neither, apart from the Sunni Shia problem that is there, it's nothing like Sunni Shia crisis. It's only that some minority who are being controlled by Americans and the Saudi dynasty have been ruling these people. And then they don't have any right to do so. I believe the Bahrainian has the right to come out in mass and then let them move these people away from Bahrain.
Well, Salman, thank you very much for that. I'm afraid, Salman, you're going to be our last call. And of course, if we think there are unpleasant governments propped up by Western interests in the Middle East, of course, across Africa, we've had some of the most brutal dictatorships left in power simply because they gave access to Western corporations to get control of their resources. Well, I'm afraid that's all we have time for with this edition of Comment. Thanks for watching and thank you for your calls. Next week, Lauren Booth will be presenting, but till then, carry on watching and make sure we carry on understanding what's really going on. Good night.
Hello, if you just comment your name and a picture of your account number, and just make sure that your television volume is set to 0.
Zero. Can you spell your name for me?
Yeah, I know. You'll be directly put through this, the phone number, and then we'll be back.